Man, in the book of Romans, chapter 8.
Come on here.
It's a text that claims our attention for this sanctuary service. Romans chapter 8. We are still considering our theme for this year, branches to the vine, connecting intentionally, intelligently, and infinitively. This season we are focused on connecting to the church. I want to begin our reading this morning in verse number one. Hallelujah. Word of the Lord reads on this wise, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. We've been dealing with this sub-series of benefits that come from connecting to the church. So this today is benefit number 9.
All right.
We always want to understand, Brother Payne, what it is that we're going to get. What is the benefit for us if we become a part of this organization? If we join this job, if we do this with those kinds of people, we want to know what is in it for me. Seems like that we can't do stuff just because it's the right thing to do. We want to know what's going to happen for us.
That's right.
And in this season, we are about to celebrate Labor Day. That some people have been celebrating so much. I got messages this morning. It was my mind to come to church, but I got a house full of folk from yesterday's festivities. There's some other folk who are getting ready for tomorrow's festivities.
Wow.
Might be why they're not here today. But we've come to celebrate God because our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And as we go forth today, this benefit is the benefit of life. That God gives life to the believer.
Yeah,
we've been dealing with all of these connections before, that the Holy Spirit, it's because of the Holy Spirit that the people of the church receive the blessings of God.
Yeah,
that there's a great benefit that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Therefore, we ought not be deceived. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of faith. Therefore, we ought not be discouraged. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. Therefore, we ought not be disgruntled, discontented, displeased, resentful. The grace says that we have favor on us.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of holiness. Therefore, we ought not be defiled. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. I said it before. Therefore, we ought not be daunted. We shouldn't be overwhelmed. We really just shouldn't be scared.
Right.
Last week, I believe that it was, and the Holy Spirit we talked about is the Spirit of power. Therefore, we ought not be defeated.
That's right.
We said that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. Therefore, we ought not be in discord. And that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of a sound mind. Therefore, we ought not be disturbed. Yeah, all of that came to us out of a place of fear. And fear is nothing but bondage.
Yes.
And we have power over every area of fear. Yeah, but there is another place of bondage, a place even in fear that we want to deal with today. That is the penalty and the power of sin. Yeah, y'all know the scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so it is. He says that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. Well, we have here with us a new law. According to this new law in our text, there is complete freedom for the believer both from the penalty and the power of sin. Look at the first point. I'm not going to be long. I'm going to be shorter than last week. There is no more condemnation.
Right. Uh-huh.
Can I push pause right there?
Yes.
Because that's a great big word. Maybe some young person don't understand condemnation. All I'm saying is the scripture says there is no more blame. There's no more criticism. Mm-hmm. There's no more judgment mm-hmm. for your sin.
Amen. Amen.
Now somebody should have shouted right there.
Yes.
Because there's no more condemnation for sin. Yeah, here we are. Find ourselves 8th chapter of the book of Romans. And it begins with no condemnation. If you keep on reading back over there, it ends with no separation. That says that there's not going to be any blame ever. And regardless of what happens with you, he will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
Can't nothing separate
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Nothing. Nothing can separate us. Look at it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah, that little tag part, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, it's one of those things where it seems like it has been jerked up from verse number 4. Because if you keep reading, it shows up again there in verse 4. He says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Yeah.
Says to me, Dr. Williams, you not only have the Spirit, because many folk don't understand what they have. But the fact that you have the Spirit is not enough. Because you have to operate in
Jesus.
The Spirit.
Yes,
yeah, he says you got to walk in the Spirit. So there, when we become children of the Most High God, we began to walk in his Spirit. There is no conditions that are attached to our freedom from condemnation. There's no more conditions. You know how it is. That it seems like you be a part of something and then you think you have it together. And then somebody comes back and they add some more stuff to it. Some more requirements.
Right,
no,
right.
It's not that. Grace writes an unconditional guarantee. Look, it's like a blank check to cover everything that you're going to end up going through. Yeah, he says that it's to those who are in Christ Jesus. Anybody
yes.
in Christ today?
Yes.
Yeah, this is one of Paul's favorite kinds of saying. He says it all the time throughout his epistles, and it speaks of this area, this sphere which the believer is brought after conversion. When you get saved, uh-huh. you are now in Christ. And so, you know, it might be difficult. It's a concept that you may not understand of how it is that you can be in Christ. And so let me try to give you an illustration from the Old Testament, because the Old Testament, all it did was to help us understand what was going on in the New Testament. That's what it is. So take, for instance, the case of Noah. Noah, when the ark was finished and it was a perfect way of escape from divine wrath, it had already been provided. Here comes an invitation from God to Noah and his family. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. That's what it says in Genesis chapter 7. He says, now the ark was pitched within and without with pitch. And interestingly enough, the Hebrew word for pitch is the identical word used in other places for atonement. Can I tell us that we've been pitched within and without with pitch because of the Holy Ghost. Yes, we got the Holy Ghost and we've been pitched. We've got protection. We've got something coming that's fighting on the inside and even stuff fighting on the outside. That's just a great place to be. But between y'all, the saved in the ark and the waters of judgment without was the wood and the pitch. Once Noah and his family were safely in the ark, we read that the Lord shut him in. And here he has complete security. He's been shut in. God didn't say, Noah, what I want you to do is, you know, put some pegs on outside of the ark. Eight of them, put them out there, and you and the rest of your family, y'all grab hold to them. You hold on to them, but don't fall off, because you fall off, you're in trouble. No, he said, you go in, and I'm shutting the door.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you understand. He is, when we are in Christ, we are in complete security. He shut him in. And what it meant for Noah to be in the ark is for us to be in Christ. We've been shut up in him. In him, God has placed us in a sphere where his wrath can never reach us, and we are secure as Christ can make us. Did y'all hear what I said? It went over your head. I must not have been talking good enough, because some of y'all already closed your eyes. But what I said was, in him, in Christ, God has placed us within a sphere where his wrath can never reach us. Now, that's some good stuff right there. I wish you would hear me what I'm saying. That if you want to hang out on the outside of Christ, if you want to stay away from the church, you go on stay. But if I get in Christ, when I'm within him, then the wrath of God, it won't reach me. Prophet said, Lord told him to go outside and pray.
Yes, Lord.
As he was praying during the tornado watch, the tornado didn't show up.
Thank you, Jesus.
Look, because you have been ensphered, if you will, in Christ.
Yes.
And he will not let harm come to you.
Yes, God.
Yeah, in him. He's put us at a place that even his own wrath. I don't think you got it yet. I don't think you got it yet, because you ain't saying nothing. Even the wrath of God, the thing that could take you out, it won't even touch you. Because you are in Christ. I mean, do I need to stay there any longer? Can anybody got it? I mean, is an amen in the house? What happens when I get in Jesus? Even the wrath of God won't reach me. Why, Dr. Williams? Because he keeps speaking precious things. It forces, when you are in Christ, you have become as precious as his own son. His wrath. Y'all know how it is. Y'all would say about somebody else's children need to have this done, and they need to be locked up, and they need to be that. But about your own?
Come on, kids. Come on. Come on.
You find your own self in hell before you let anything happen to your children.
Yeah.
God says, in him, my wrath won't reach you. Come on, let us get within him. There is no more condemnation, y'all, for sin. Yeah, there's no more condemnation for sin. You know, y'all act like you don't get it. Look, because I know you sinning, because you breathing. But you have the condemnation for your sin has ceased.
because you are in Christ. I ain't gonna fool with y'all. I got somewhere to go. Number two is that there need be no more control by sin. Sin can control us, right?
Yeah.
But there needs to be no more control by sin. This is where the law comes in, this new law. Look at it. He says in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Yeah. So here it is. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. Therefore, there should be nothing that savors death about me. The Holy Spirit, you got it. And so since you have it, there should be nothing that even smells of death about you. You have life. I wish I could tell that you had life.
Jesus.
To every believer, we understand that the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And if you have the Holy Ghost, then you have the Spirit of life. Yeah, there's a gift that has been given to you. I'm seeing. Let me see if I can say it like this. Picture this idea of the law being changed. A coin falling toward the ground under the influence of the law of gravity. In itself, that coin is powerless to overcome the downward fall to the earth. Mm-hmm. It is in its very nature to fall. If you turn it loose, it's going to fall. But before it gets too far, if somebody reaches out and grabs and holds it, and then they begin to lift it up higher and higher in defiance of the law of gravity.
Yes.
The law of the Spirit of life in that person's arm overcomes the law of gravity.
Yes.
Now, this does not mean that the original law has ceased to operate, but it does mean that a higher law is now in play.
Yeah.
We sin by nature because we are victims of the fall, and because it is the nature of a fallen man to sin. But in Christ Jesus, a higher law operates. The law of the Spirit of life. And this law sets us free from the lesser law of sin and death. I told you before, the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
When you sin, because you're going to sin, you deserve to die. But it had not been for the Lord who was on your side.
Yeah.
Woo! Glory to God. He institutes the law of Spirit of life so that you can live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, the limitation of my little illustration about the coin, the coin has no will of its own. If you drop it, it's going to fall.
Yeah.
But we do have will. And it is impossible for us to fail to enjoy release from the control of sin by disbelief or disobedience. I said it is possible for us to fail to enjoy the release from the bondage, from the control of sin and death by disbelief or disobedience. It's something that belongs to us. So there is therefore now no condemnation for sin. There need be no more control by sin. And there should be no more continuance in sin. Come on, y'all. Deliverance from the control of sin never came through our own efforts to keep the Mosaic law. Look at the text. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The law, it says, was weak through the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
It was not that God asked too much of man, for he can be satisfied with nothing less than absolute perfection. It was that man in the flesh simply could not and cannot live up to the claims of God's law.
Uh-huh.
But then came Jesus.
Yeah.
In flesh, just like ours. Yeah, except that his flesh was sinless,
mm-hmm.
untainted by the fall. For over 33 years, he lived in a body of flesh without ever yielding to sinful thoughts or speaking a wrong word or committing an improper act. Can you imagine? His life was a condemnation of sin in the flesh. And people who imagine that Christ's life was given to us merely as an example to follow make a great mistake. It utterly condemns us. Like the veil in the temple, it bars us from the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And like that veil which was rent in twain, so the body of Christ had to be rent on Calvary. Yeah, essential as his immaculate life was to the completion of redemption's plan,
mm-hmm.
it is not his life that saves, it is his death.
Mm-hmm.
You read the Gospels put heavy emphasis on the death of Christ. During his life, the Lord Jesus demonstrated the possibility of God's law being fulfilled in a human life, a life lived in the flesh. That is, in your body. Through the miracle of Christ indwelling the believer, the life that Jesus lived can now be reproduced in us by his Spirit. It's not reproduced by us, but in us. If we walk after the flesh, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Right.
I say, you know, people say we just can't do it. I just can't do it. I'm just human. I'm just a man. This is just how it is. But he says that you are a man and you walk like man, but won't walk like the Spirit that's in you.
Mm-hmm.
You will not fulfill the lust of your flesh.
That's right.
You will not go after the thing that would defile you. You will not go to the place that would destroy you. There's life that can be produced, reproduced. The life of Jesus is reproduced in us by his Spirit. That's the benefit, y'all. Number 9, you got the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. Because if you keep walking around sinning, you just gonna walk in dead. But he says you have life because the Spirit, the living God, resides on the inside of you. And because it's there and is living, it keeps producing and reproducing life in you, for you. Thank you. He keeps on giving us his life. What a blessing it is for us to receive the Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
his Holy Spirit. It begins to well up on the inside of us that when we would have our dying moments, y'all know what your dying moment is? Your dying moments are when you focus on yourself and on your flesh. Your dying moments. When when the pain is overtaking us, the dying moments when sadness overwhelms us, the dying moments when depression seems to slip in.
Mm-hmm.
Those are dying moments. But in your dying moment,
yes,
I come to remind you that the spirit of life is on the inside of you, because you have received the spirit, the living God. And he keeps on producing life for you. I mean, we all have our dying moments. But my brothers and my sisters, I refuse to die.
Amen.
I will live and not die.
Yes.
Tell your pain, I live and not die. Tell your hurt, I live and not die. Tell your confusion, I live and not die. Depression, I will live and
not die.
Not die. That's because you have the benefit of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of life. Therefore, death can find no place around here.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. As you stand all over the building, the doors of the church.